Praise God. You can sit down now. Thank you, Pastor Patrick, for laying it on nice and thick. Great to walk out to that. So good to be with all of you. You know, I got nervous that it was going to be much thinner in here because I thought the Knicks game was tonight. And everyone that came, I was going to tell you, I'm betting you'll get raptured first because you came to church instead of staying home to watch the game. But anyway, it's all right. Everyone gets an equal shot anyway. Praise God. I'd like you to go with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. I have a word from the Lord for you tonight. It's a prophetic word. It was something that God dropped in my heart just this afternoon as I was flying up from Jacksonville, Florida. I had gone down with Pastor Pavel Mofty and his wife Haley to be at a funeral for a pastor friend of ours whose family was struck by tragedy, and the glory of God came down. And it was a beautiful time, and the whole time I was down there, I thought, Lord, I still need a word for tomorrow night, and I don't know what you want me to say to your people. And I just waited on him, and I had even begun to write something else while sitting in the airport, and it was just mid-flight. I was thinking and praying about some things, and God dropped this word in my heart. I want to talk to you about miracles in the fire. Miracles in the fire. You know, we have a couple in our church that's been attending for well over 10 years, and we love them. Man and woman of God, they're in their 60s. They have adult children, and they are in a season of prolonged estrangement from their children and their grandchildren. And the reason is because they refused to validate some sinful choices that one of their children was making, and everyone chose sides. Sadly, no one stood with them, the parents, and they were cut off because they were told they were acting in an unloving manner. They were being over the top in their reaction. They had no right to interfere with the choices of their adult child the way that they were. And so for over a decade now, they have been estranged. They have not gotten to see their grandchildren grow up. They have not been able to spend holidays with their children and their grandchildren. And I can't help but think how many other people in the house of God, whether it's in this house, watching online, you are isolated and in a place of affliction because you refused to bend your knee to something. You are in a place of trial and difficulty because you refuse to validate something that God calls wrong. You refuse to give your agreement and your consent to something that you knew would go against your conscience or go against God's revealed truth. And that's what I felt the Lord put in my heart. He is a word of encouragement for those listening tonight, whether it's here in the house or online. You are in a place of affliction because you refused to bend your knee. You refused to compromise. And Daniel 3 is an embodiment of that story. We have these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were brought against their will into a pagan nation. They were forced to learn a culture not their own, to learn a language not their own. They had to watch the city they grew up in burn to the ground. And being brought into this new place, they find out it's a land of idols. It's a land of false gods. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, sets up a golden image, most likely his own image, and he commands everyone under the penalty of death to bow to this image. And anyone who refuses to do so is going to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Knowing the suffering that's coming, knowing the affliction that awaits them if they choose to not bend their knee, knowing what's going to take place and the jeopardy of their lives that's going to come about if they refuse to obey the king, they refuse to bow down. And of course, they're found out, they're exposed to the king, and they are put on trial. And I want to talk to you about three miracles that God gives to us when we refuse to bend our knee, when we refuse to compromise, when we stand resolute and say, no, as much as this might cost me, as much as this might hurt me, I will not compromise on what God calls right and what he calls wrong. I will not validate things that he has called me to stand against. And that might look like different things for different people. I mentioned the couple in our church, and maybe there's some people that really resonates with you. You can have tension in your marriage because of things that you know you have to stand against, even if it's your spouse trying to pull you in a wrong direction. You can have conflict at work because you will not go the same direction as coworkers who don't have the same value system that you do as a Christian. You have missed opportunities. Maybe some are watching online tonight in countries where following Jesus and refusing to bend your knee to the system can cost you everything. It can mean more than just isolation. God has a word for you tonight. And we're going to start in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. They have been brought before Nebuchadnezzar. They have made it clear they're not going to change their minds. And this is his response. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." We're going to stop there for just a moment. The first miracle that God gives us when we refuse to compromise is the miracle of making it into the fire. It's the miracle of making it into the fire. Think about this. You have three young Hebrew men. They are scholars. They are most likely eunuchs. They are not necessarily physically fit. They're not bred for war. They've not been trained for that. They're intellectuals. They're the wise men in the nation. And then you have these powerful soldiers who have been trained for war. The fact that they're there in the capital city at the king's disposal might indicate that they're part of some elite guard. These men are no joke. They know how to march all day and night, get to a battlefield and not take a rest, jump right into the fray. These are strong, powerful men. And when they bound up those boys, I'm sure the ropes were tight and the knots were firm. And when they carried them up to the fiery furnace's door, their hands, their grips were probably strong. And those boys knew there's nothing we can do to resist them. But the heat of the furnace was so powerful that these mighty warriors couldn't take it. And they were killed before they even got to drop the boys into the furnace. But somehow, these three Hebrew scholars survive going into the flame. The first miracle that God gave them was that they made it in alive. And the reason why this matters, beloved, is because you have to understand the first miracle has already happened. It's the miracle that you did not bend your knee. That's the first miracle. You can't underplay that. We don't have any ability apart from the Holy Spirit. You don't have it in you. I don't have it in me to stand against darkness. Left to myself, I'm going to take the easy way out. I don't have it in me to be allegiant and loyal to Jesus if my life is on the line, if isolation is on the line, if relationships or opportunity are on the line. If you stood firm, that's a miracle, because it wasn't by your might, it wasn't by your power, it was by the Spirit of God resting upon you. You were able to stand in strength that the greatest carnal warriors did not know. Fire that could slay mighty men in the Babylonian army could do nothing to those Hebrew boys because they refused to compromise. They refused to validate sin. They refused to bend their knee. The fact that you made it into where you are and you're still standing is the miracle. The first miracle is making it into the fire. Because listen, Christians do not go into affliction because they're weak. They go into affliction because they're a threat. If you made it into affliction, if you're in a furnace right now, it's because you agitated hell. You agitated darkness. You stirred up hostility in somebody's heart because it's not in alignment with God. And that can be painful when you think about the nature of the relationship that might be there. If it's parents with children, children with parents, friends and loved ones getting separated because someone's got to stand for truth. But the fact that you're willing to pay that cost, only Jesus could put that in you. Only the Spirit of God could make that come alive. The first miracle is making it into the fire. You might feel like everything is burning around you, but beloved, you're still standing. You're here. You're in the house of God. You've still got a song to sing. There's hope. And the Lord sent me with a message for you. And that doesn't make me special. I'm just the donkey. I'm doing his talking. That's it. You're the one he's got his eye on. He loves you, and he's pleased with you for not bending your knee to lies. Hallelujah. The second miracle that God gives us in the fire is in verses 24 and 25. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It's almost self-explanatory. The second miracle that God gives you is standing in the fire. You think you're going in alone. The enemy wants to tell you you're isolating yourself. You're cutting yourself off from relationships and opportunity and advantage. You're handicapping your life. You don't go into suffering alone. No Christian goes into the furnace by themselves. The Son of God is with you. And when it should be flame and fire kindling on you and burning you up, it's the glory of God that covers you instead. And it astonishes the world around you. It astonishes the persecutors. It astonishes the haters and those that resent you for the stand that you're taking. They look in and they say, how come it's not working? They're not hurt. Not only are they not hurt, they're free. We sent them in bound and the fire burned the lies off. We sent them in to be burned up and they're walking around like it's nothing. And they're not alone. That's the beauty of it, beloved. The fire can't hurt you because Jesus is with you. It might be painful in a human respect, the sense of loss, the sense of distance that can come in, the feel of the cost and the price that we have to pay, but you will know the glory of God in your furnace. You will know the beauty of Jesus in the fiery furnace because he will never ask you to go in alone. He will call on us to carry the cross with him. He will call on us to suffer with him. He will call on us to know him in shame, just as he knew shame for us. But he will never ask you to carry the cross alone. He will never ask you to bear the weight of following him alone. He goes with you, and he covers you with his glory every moment. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. He said, I see four men loose. They're free. They're walking in the midst of the fire. They can't be hurt. They can't be burned. There's no damage on them. There's no harm coming to them. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The first miracle is making it in. The second is standing in the fire. The third miracle starts in verse 26. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. When Satan throws you into the furnace, his intention is to destroy you. His intention is to make you regret that you ever refused to bend your knee to him. His intention is to make you regret following Jesus and staying loyal to him. But the affliction, the fire, does not define you. It has no power to shape you. You're going in already shaped. You're going to reshape the fire. It has no power over you. Instead of destroying you, it sets you free and burns things off. You go in all bound up with fears and lies, but you learn who your God is while you're in there. And you walk out trusting him, triumphant, unafraid, unshaken, because you know him now. You know him now. And it astonishes the world around you. It's something they can't touch. And they look and they say, how are they not burned? How are they not smell like fire? Have you ever been near the smoke of a fire? Of any kind? You sit around a bonfire at night roasting marshmallows, everything's got to go in the wash. You can't get that smell out. And they don't even smell like it. Nothing about them was able to be defined by their suffering. God defined their suffering and used it to shape them, to look more like him. The glory of God rested on these men. The third miracle is emerging from the fire, emerging from it and looking more like the God that you followed into it. That's the third miracle. Emerging from the fire and looking more like him. And all the king's counselors gather around and they're just amazed and astonished. How is this possible? And at the end of those miracles, the goal that God wants to bring your life to is a testimony. It's a testimony. And you know, before we read the final bit of this passage here and unpack it just a little bit, you know, that couple that I told you about from our church, I wish I could tell you that reconciliation has taken place with their children. It hasn't yet. There have been little signs of softening here and there, but nothing to be too optimistic about, I'm afraid. But one thing that has happened with them is they've known the glory of God. Those are two people that I can tell you as their pastor, they have not been defined by their furnace. You can't smell smoke on them. You would never know that they're living a life of estrangement from the people they love the most, the people they gave life to, the people they raised and invested in, the people that they wanted the very best for. You would never know that they live in that kind of pain. They have property up in northern Pennsylvania in their heart. They told us from the very first day they attended the church, we just want that land to be used for ministry. We want churches to come and hold retreats there. You know, after they started walking in alignment with God's word in the midst of their furnace, the discouragement began to burn off. The lies and the confusion began to burn off. God began to bless their land. So many retreats from our church and other ministries have been held there. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is on that property. I tell them, I'm like, this is my summit. Other people come to summit to unplug and get away from everything and get spiritually revived and learn. I'm like, your place is my summit. I go, I don't have cell service up there, so I do get unplugged, you know? But it's beautiful. I go out and I could just walk for hours and I feel so close to the Lord. And I've told them because I know that's their heart desire. I know that's what they wanted. So I've made it a point to tell them every time I go, I love walking your land. It refreshes me. It revives me. The glory of God is marking their lives. We have a student currently at the school who's just thriving, wonderful young woman of God who's just thriving. And she comes from a lot of brokenness in her past. And she did not have an option for going home this summer that would have protected her from going back to her old life. And she was sitting in my office weeping because she was so scared. She said, Pastor Nick, I don't know what to do. I don't have options. I know there's an open door for me to go back to this man that I was with, but I know what's going to happen if I go there. I know what my life is going to turn back into if I go back to him. And I said, you know what? I know a couple in the church that I think can help you out. And they took this young woman under their wing. They loved her. They've given her a place to stay. She has a home when she's not able to be on the campus. They've not been defined by their fire. They have not been defined by their affliction. You cannot smell smoke on them. And that's the testimony God wants to give you. You can come out of the affliction you're in, not defined by your pain, but defined by the hand of the God that you followed into the furnace. Not defined by all of the anger that wants to stir up, all of the conversations you wish you could go and have with the people that have offended and hurt and betrayed you. Let's read the passage, just the last few verses. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. There is no other God who can deliver like this. Folks, that's the best part of your testimony. You are a living display that there is no other God like this God. No other God can keep people whole when their whole world is falling apart. No other God can give peace that surpasses understanding. No other God can hold you together when other people are trying to tear you apart from the inside out. Only the Christian God, only Jesus Christ has the power to do that. And your life is meant to be a proclamation of that. A proclamation of that truth. You are the sermon. You are the sermon. He's called you not just to suffer for his namesake. He's better than that. When he calls us to suffer for his namesake, it's because he's got miracles to show us. It's because there's a testimony that he's fashioning inside of our lives, and it's going to astonish the world around you. It's going to make people recognize there is no other God that can do this. No other God can rescue this way. There is no other philosophy, no other worldview, nothing that can rescue this way. He sees you. You're not alone in your fire. It's a miracle that you're in it. Don't forget that. It's a miracle that you never bent your knee. It's a miracle that you haven't changed your mind and you've held your ground. That's the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon you. And you're going to know the glory of God in your fire. He's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to keep you with his love. He's going to give you comfort and peace that goes beyond understanding. You don't need answers to receive that peace. It's a peace that doesn't come by explanation. It comes supernaturally. You can be in the midst of confusion like you've never known, and the peace can rest upon you. That's what it means, that it surpasses our minds. Thanks be to God. Would you stand with me tonight? The worship team is going to come. There's miracles in the fire. And as we always do, we're going to go into a time of worship and response as we close out the service tonight. And if God is speaking to you, if you're in a furnace, you've been cut off, isolated, thrown into affliction because you refuse to bend your knee, I want you to come to the front and just ask the Holy Spirit to refresh your heart. Say, God, help me to see the miracles. Help me to see the miracles while I'm in this thing. Help me to keep standing up. Help me to stay on my feet and not bend my knee. Help me to be resolute and stand for truth. God's gonna fill you with fresh strength tonight. He's gonna fill you with fresh power tonight because he loves you. Just begin to make your way down. Join our brothers and sisters that are already coming. I'm gonna pray while you do that, and then we're gonna worship. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you are with us in the fire. Lord, thank you that no one at this altar has been alone for a single moment. God, you know the decisions that they've made. Father, you know, Lord, the choices that they've had to make over the past weeks, months, years, however long it's been, God. Father, I see people every Sunday at our church that have been in the same furnace, it seems, for years, and it's because they refuse. They refuse, oh God, to bend their knee to Babylon. They refuse, oh God, to bend their knee to that which grieves your heart. And so, Lord, I pray, God, set your glory on them tonight. Set your glory on them, oh God. Let them feel your presence and let the world around them see it. Oh God, I pray that those who are persecuting them, those who are resisting them, God, open their eyes to see the glory of the Son of God on their lives, Lord Jesus. Let it fill them with conviction. God, I pray that the open door of the furnace would appear, Lord. God, I pray that you would bring restoration, bring reconciliation, oh God. Father, I pray that you would bind up brokenness everywhere that it is. Jesus, you are worth following into the fire. You are worth that, Lord. God, if it costs us our loved ones, if it costs us our friends, you are worth that. But Lord, we also know that you are merciful. You are compassionate. So God, I pray that in your mercy, oh God, bring them back, oh Lord Jesus, and the divides and the rifts, oh Lord. Bring wholeness again. Lord, let those that are persecuting us be astonished and acknowledge that there is no other God that can do this. There is no other God who can deliver like this. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you are able to reveal yourself when the furnace is seven times hotter, oh God. When it's seven times hotter than it's supposed to be, you're able to make yourself known there. You're able to make your glory shine there. So God, do that tonight. Lord, let them feel your fatherly pleasure upon them, oh Lord. You are proud of them, Father. You're proud of them, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you told your disciples multiple times, if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm going to speak your name. I'm going to confess your name before my Father and all the holy angels. So, Lord, I thank you. There's a blessing in our affliction. There's a blessing in the furnace, oh God, because we get to be close to you. Lord, we might be far from people that we love. We might be far, oh God, from opportunities. We might be far, oh Lord, from things that we feel like we need, but we get to be closer to you. And that is worth more than every earthly comfort. That is worth more, oh God, than anything the world could ever buy. That is worth more. Lord, there's nothing we love more than your presence, oh God. Jesus, your presence has been a comfort in the midst of grief. Jesus, thank you that you have been the good shepherd that's walked us through the valley of the shadow of death over and over and over again. And finally, Lord, I thank you. God, thank you that my brothers and sisters made it in. Thank you that they even made it in. God, I know some of them are probably carrying things that would break some people. It would break their minds, oh Lord. And God, I thank you that you've kept them. You've preserved them. They are miracles already, Lord. So preserve them, comfort them, breathe on them, empower them, oh God, because you love them. You love them. You love them. You love them. We love you, Lord Jesus. God, we give the remainder of our time to you. And as we sing, as we worship, let your presence come. Sweep over this body of people and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together, church.